Welcome in to Fantastic Fantasy Primer. It is Fantastic's Insider Football Podcast. He's James Adams. I'm Dan Claskins. We're back to help you along in this magical ride of a season. It's a roller coaster ride of a season is what it is. A little bit crazy. We're about at the midway point. And on today's program, we'll certainly touch base on some of those latest injuries. We've got some waiver wire to talk about. Of course, your first glance at all of Week 8's matchups. And James, goodness gracious, our Bengals were on a bye last week, but I swear, I was just, you said I wouldn't be stressed with the Bengals on the bye, but I was somehow still stressed with all my bets and fantasy matchups. But overall, decent week. How about you, my friend?
It didn't have to be great football to be close football that kept us on our edge. And I think that's mostly what we had this weekend, which in the end, hey, good enough for me. It was constantly entertaining, if not always excellent.
Yeah, still trying to figure out why we had two teams, six teams, and now zero teams on the bye this week. But hey, we'll take no teams on bye in Week 8 and gives us a little bit more of matchups to break down. So let's jump right into it. If you catch us on the podcast for the first time, welcome. We love our new listeners, love our loyal listeners as well. And you can be a loyal listener by subscribing wherever you listen. Be sure to catch us weekend mornings as well, Saturdays during the season on Fantasy Sports Radio there with Fantastic's Insider Football. And, of course, InsiderFootball.com, where you can get the podcast and all the tools to win this season. And James, pretty pumped up. We've got some Veterans Day around the corner, some do-good fantasy. You don't even know all the things I'm about to get you in, but we got some more announcements on that with the second-half fantasy challenge coming up and another best ball mid-season draft. I'll tell you what, dude, I was looking back at my best ball draft portfolios and hasn't been the best ball drafting season for me. I got a few that are okay, but it's like, not feeling like I'm going to turn quite the profit I did a year ago in best ball. I'll say that.
I'm probably in the same boat with you. And I got to tell you, dude, I went and looked and I thought, man, after the Deonta Foreman blow up this week, he was only on one bench because I needed him everywhere I could possibly have had him. And I know I was drafting a lot in best ball. I mean, I guess my teams got better, but they certainly didn't start racking up the dollars just yet.
Yeah, well, it is early in the season, and sometimes it's hard to turn around those best ball lineups, though. But before we turn the page to this week, to all these injuries, the waiver wire, let's, of course, take away from some of the things in Week 7, besides all the teams on the byes. A couple good things, a couple bad. We'll start with you, James. We'll start with the good.
Let's go to Sunday night first. Let's go with Tyreek Hill. As bad as the Dolphins' offense looked, he seemed to be... I don't know if it's game script agnostic. I don't know if there's anything you could really say as far as labeling it as, hey, it was a bad performance by everybody but Tyreek. I think that's always going to happen. But Danny's got 100 yards on the next closest receiver. He continues to dominate. So, sure, I'm happy because I did put a little something on him at 9.5-1 reception yardage later. But it proved to be – it was a pick I liked. He was the number three receiver on my board. And – even in a game where Tua didn't really come through, nobody else really for the Dolphins came through. Tyreek Hill came through, man.
Yeah, he sure did. And he continues to. And he's right up there in the MVP conversation. We've been talking about McCaffrey and the futures bet, but another strong case could be made there with Hill. And I don't think anybody would argue with at least your argument. I'll tell you what else has been good or bad, depending on how you're doing it. How about the scoring in general, James?
Yep.
I mean, I want to go to bad. Week 7, another dud overall. The NFL unders on the total are 64-41-1. 61% the under has cashed on the season. That is the best start for unders through Week 7 since at least 2005, as far back as Bet Labs was able to research it. So, dude, that is impacting fantasy here. It's impacting betting, but obviously fantasy because there's just not as many points, man. You go around your leagues. Yeah, I mean, every week, every league has a few players that break out, right? Because there's a handful of players that do in real life. But, dude, there are a lot of teams that aren't putting up a lot of points in a lot of leagues this year.
And you know what? Then I find myself with one of those teams at 1-5, and it puts up 180 points this week. Go figure.
Yeah, well.
But I got 90 points from the team that was like, a real good competitor. So it seemingly is like every week it's my good teams are bad, my bad teams are good, which means none of them are either. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, James, as much as it pains me to say it, one thing that's looking better each week and certainly did in week 7, Lamar Jackson, 357 yards, 3 touchdowns in the air against the Lions, which I thought the Lions would show up, but the team registered its highest DBOE of the season at 12%. That's the second game in the last 3 weeks. The Ravens qualified as a pass-heavy offense based on these historical comps, and seems like each week gets into this season, this offense is starting to take more and more shape under new offensive coordinator Todd Monken.
And maybe the bad was the receiving leader for that team was 1 for 80 by Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
So go ahead and figure it out, even when Lamar's throwing for over 350. No, I know Andrews and Flowers both did their thing.
Yeah, I mean, Andrews and Flowers certainly delivered for fantasy. Yep, and even Bateman was getting a little more involved there, but certainly on the good side of things with that passing game, which if we're going to get all quarterbacks and good and bad, we got to go to the ugliest, and that's Deshaun Watson. Oh, my God. Dude, they put him in as the starter. He throws one pass, gets hit, and now he's out again. But yet then they somehow score 40 points. The great defense who, I mean, Myles Garrett is an MVP candidate too, as long as we're talking about non-quarterback MVP candidates. Dude, he had this epic game. They somehow still put up 40-1 with PJ Walker. I mean, the Browns could very well be a Super Bowl team, but they had a quarterback. And here, go figure, they paid Deshaun Watson the most money of any team in the league. And gosh, they still don't have a quarterback, James.
All those unders in this game that largely had two backup quarterbacks in it goes over by a large margin. Again, go ahead and figure it out. And while you're talking about that game, one of my goods has to be the Colts running backs. That was a really good surprise. Zach Moss didn't exactly dominate for you, but he got you a little bit, while Jonathan Taylor also got you a lot. My dud on our program Saturday was the Colts running back duo, Jonathan Taylor in particular. So he was a good surprise, maybe a bad surprise in the fact that I look silly calling him a dud, but a good surprise in that I didn't expect him to do a whole lot versus that Browns defense. And he did quite a lot, and he looked really, really good, like JT might be back.
Mm-hmm. He definitely looked like the guy that people were drafting number one last year.
Yeah.
I still can't just think about if Richardson would have stayed healthy, what this offense could have looked at. Because Josh Downs, I mean, as long as we're talking good, let's keep talking Colts. And
sure.
I mean, dude, he's wide receiver 3 right now for me, James. I mean, this guy is a must add. We'll get to him on the waiver wire if he is out there, believe it or not, in so many. But if you look at the comps, again, these historical comps, I mean, basically Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, Jordan Matthews, Sterling Shepard in the rookie seasons, that foursome averaged 12.5 points per game and a wide receiver 30 finish in their inaugural campaigns. And that's exactly what Downs is now doing. He has 4 top 30 finishes, 2 top 18 outings in this span since he came on really over these last 5 weeks.
Just incredible. I mean, you know, it almost is enough to cause concern for Pittman because, frankly, if Pittman doesn't have that one big play, he doesn't have a great day. So it's a little concerning for Pittman, but I think they'll both end up doing well. But Downs, my goodness, he just continues to perform.
Yeah, I got one more ugly, and then whatever you've got. Justin Herbert, dude, he was my stud in some places last week at quarterback. And I mean, in 3 games without with Mike Williams versus 3 games without Mike Williams, those stats are staggering. 74% completion rate with Mike Williams, 57% completion rate without him. 7.7 yards per attempt to 7.2 yards per attempt, 5.0% touchdown rate to 4.4% touchdown rate. And dude, when those numbers are like that, then you got to overcome having the worst coach in football. I mean, things are stacked up against Herbert and the Chargers, and even Austin Eckler's starting to, you know, really disappoint some fantasy managers.
Go ahead and call Eckler. He was one of my bads as well that you could throw right there with Herbert. Only Palmer really had a good game. I mean, Kelly, but I doubt anybody turned to Kelly. Maybe somebody did, but yeah, that whole Chargers other side of that Kansas City game was just unfortunate, and Kansas City defense is real.
Yeah. Anything else you got? This stuff's depressing. I'm ready to move on the injury report, where it's a little less depressing this week.
There's no way we go without giving Cousins, Hockenson, Addison kudos. A very good surprise on Monday night. They lifted me up to a fantasy victory I didn't expect or even possibly deserve with as good as the Cousins, Hockenson, and Addison combo. Yeah,
and
was.
How about Christian McCaffrey on the other side of that matchup? I mean, all the talk about the oblique, will he play, will he not? Dude, he played all but one snap and scored two touchdowns and is one game away from another touchdown of setting the most touchdowns in many games in the history of this league. So
beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'd say he's definitely in that MVP conversation still.
Yes, sir. He certainly is. If that team turns it around, it's more likely him than Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we shall see. All right. Let's move on to the injury news. And we're only talking about new injuries or things here, and we won't spend a lot of time on it, James. Jalen Hurts, he was seen limping, had the brace on after halftime, sort of talked it down in his post-game interview with Melissa Stark on Sunday night. Clearly is dealing with a knee issue. And now he finished the game. So I'm not suggesting that his status is necessarily in doubt this week. But James, he clearly wasn't himself, and he didn't move around a lot after halftime of that game either. So is there concern with Philadelphia, with the best record in the league, that Hurts already a little dinged up here?
No, but, I mean, does that mean you should probably be looking at Mariota in Superflex leagues? I guess, you know, make sure you have a backup. We'll get to the waiver wire a little bit more thoroughly, but I don't think there's concern on the surface, but he wore a brace. But he finished the game, right? It's football. Guys get banged up. He missed a few games last year, so that adds a little bit more concern. And I will just say this. They were making a concerted effort. It was pointed out on the broadcast. You know, there were times where Jalen Hurts would give himself up, was not taking the contact. So he's trying to maintain a healthy body for the stretch run, and yet he's already wearing a brace. So I just said no concern. And I guess I would say that in regards to I'm certainly playing him next week without any hesitation. But, yeah, I guess there's always concern. I mean, there's always concern for any running quarterback. And as we get to bye weeks, you know, it's something you should be aware of if in all situations with a quarterback, you know, getting to a backup in a bye week sitch.
No doubt about that. We already hit on the Deshaun Watson stuff, which was interesting because he was concussion protocol. He cleared the concussion protocol, but then they didn't put him back in the game. And they, you know, after the game, Steph Nasky, was basically saying it was in protecting the franchise, but it was concussion related. But then on Monday, he got sent for another MRI on his shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like, where's as the world turns here in Cleveland. But I don't want to talk as much about that as I do the injury at running back, where they're calling it a low grade high ankle sprain. It looks like multiple weeks Ford's out here with the ankle. We have seen the Browns rushing attack still be fantasy productive despite the woes in the passing game. We've got Kareem Hunt. We've got Pierre Strong. What do we got here in Cleveland, James? How are you approaching it on the waiver wire?
A low high ankle sprain? That sounds like me telling my mom I was not drinking.
Yeah, officer, I didn't have any...
Like, what is that nonsense? A low, high, gray? Like, come on with it. I'm worried about it. It's going to be a couple of weeks, it sounds like. I think Pierre Strong's the guy in deep leagues you're going after. But if Kareem Hunt's still there, he's the guy first and foremost, I would certainly think.
He definitely is the guy who's going to get it at the goal line. I think they end up splitting the carries. Neither of them's going to be much of a long-term savior for your fantasy backfield. Both of them nice depth pieces.
Yeah.
Bashaun Robinson. Talk about Buzzkill City. Dealing with headaches of his own. 0.3 points in my PPR league. And, it was Tyler Algier time. It was Cordero Patterson. James, I am going to give this one the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, clearly he wasn't feeling well. I know there's an investigation into it, but as long as he's practicing this week and active, I am starting him without hesitation again in week number 8.
Fool me once, shame on me. So I'm right there with you. I'm just going to return to Bijan Robinson being an RB1 with zero questions or hesitations. If it happens again, we're going to revisit this conversation. But for right now, I'm just going to treat it as a, hey, things happen.
Smelled a whole lot like T. Higgins last season.
I remember a while back, like a late scratch with a Corey Dillon, but that's probably just taking it way too back. Because we had fun calling him Corey Illen that day. He was sick.
Christian Watson dings his knee. We've got Luke Musgrave dealing with an ankle issue. And Jordan Love with more interceptions over these last couple games than he had all the games before that this season. A lot of woes in Green Bay here. Aaron Jones still not getting back to himself. The Packers are just a mess right now, James. And I'm not so sure we're going to see him turn it around this year.
Neither am I. I'm not sure that you're finding anybody that you're really relying on because Jordan Love, I think, is being forced to win the games for the Packers right now.
I think they need Aaron Jones healthy. Yep. If they can
and
get
I don't
him,
think he is.
If they, yeah, exactly. But if they can get him healthy, I do think there's still value in these guys. So I'm not dropping any Packers, especially the not Christian Watsons, the Aaron Jones. I mean, maybe your Jordan Loves in shower leagues, not in super flex. Luke Musgrave in a deeper league, I'm still holding on him. I like the young talent. So it's just hard to endorse him. Now the matchup's juicy this week versus the Vikings. So we'll see how these injuries trend and what you're looking at. But with no teams on bye, fantasy managers, we have a little more luxuries on their benches.
Yep.
Dawson Knox, himself being out, not a major thing. He's dealing with the knee issues, out for an extended period. Zach Ertz also put on injured reserve today with an injury of his own. So Dalton Kincaid had his best game of his career last week, seems to be trending in the right direction. Trey McBride also going to get some looks. And let's talk about those guys, James, now as we transition into the waiver wire report for week 8. And as we look at Kincaid, and obviously now Trey McBride, and where are these guys at, given the landscape at tight end, and if you're hitting the waiver wire this week?
More interested in Kincaid than McBride, because we have seen Knox score a lot of touchdowns at the goal line, and without a Damian Harris, you know, I'm certainly Josh Allen is still Josh Allen, but you might find some open targets there at the goal line, which could go Kincaid's way, and his instant involvement a week ago in a come-from-behind situation makes me put him to the top of the list, especially when you consider, you know, that he was one of the highly touted rookie tight ends, and many of them have indeed proven to be worth that hype so far this year. So for me, it's Kincaid. McBride showed a little bit a couple weeks ago. I'm still not sure that I'm buying into that offense, though. So, you know, it's not
only
McBride.
Yeah, but they could be getting Kyler Murray back, and his yards per route run is like third in the league at tight end. And with Ertz out of the way, like in deeper leagues, I don't know, man.
Deeper leagues, he's certainly in play. Absolutely.
I'm with you. I'd rather have Kincaid for sure. I've been holding on Kincaid in a couple deeper leagues, two tight end leagues and stuff that I play in. So I've got him in some spots, but he's not sitting out there in a lot of leagues, unless it's shallower. So if you're going deeper at tight end, you got him, you got Taysom Hill. I feel like each week we talk about Taysom Hill, and they are using him as a pass catcher over the last 2 weeks, but that offense is brutal, and Juwan Johnson's been dinged up and out. So eventually he gets back in. A few of those targets go away. I mean, Taysom Hill's worth a stab in deeper leagues too. I'd rather take McBride over him, and certainly Kincaid over both.
I'd take Kincaid over both, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, the thing is with Hill, if it was a best ball, he'd already be on my rosters, James, because he's going to have those games. But the minute you stick him in as your starter, man, and you can say that about most tight ends, frankly.
But Taysom Hill is the most boom-bust. He is T.Y. Hilton of tight ends.
Oh, my gosh, right now. That's a great comparison. All right. I don't know why. It was just a nice transition there with the injury report with the tight ends to start the waiver wire with tight ends. But there's more exciting waiver wire options out there than tight ends usually. And this week's no different. I think Josh Downs would be number one on my list. You know, we hit it on it before. He's really emerged. He's somehow still available in over half the leagues at Yahoo. So he's number one for me. I know I've also been talking about Rashee Rice. I'm assuming he's been scooped up at this point. He shouldn't be on any waiver wires, nor should Josh Palmer. I think those three guys, especially in shallower leagues, if I had to rank them, I think I like Downs, Rice, Palmer the rest of the way.
Oh, I would love to have any of them on most of my rosters.
Yeah,
is the unfortunate truth of it all.
Well, to be clear, I mean, they're all viable wide receiver, threes probably down the stretch here. So
I might take Rice just because of the offense, but I think you could pick either one, and it's I like them all.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Gardner Minshew locked into Downs, I mean, he has at least 5 catches in each of the last 3 games. So, with you. They're all great. They're all great. And even Kincaid, those are the guys that are out there. Kareem Hunt, he's scooped up. All right, let's go a little deeper down in the waiver wire. I guess you have the guys that might not have got scooped up last week. Dante Foreman, I doubt he wasn't scooped up in a 16 bye.
Yeah, receiver-wise, too, like I would go out and look, you know, if a Tyler Boyd, a Brandon Cooks was dropped because they were on bye last week.
Week drops, that's always a good thing.
Keep your eyes on guys like that, and then, I mean, I guess
Kendrick
if you
Bourne is one that's interesting, James.
Heck yeah. I mean, I was going to go deeper than that, but Kendrick Bourne definitely is interesting.
16 catches over his last 2 games. I think he's out there in a lot of leagues.
If he's not there, I was going to say, what about DeMario Douglas? who showed a little bit and has had an increased snaps count with those same Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, he's on
deep league. I'd much rather have Bourne.
He's on the list. And then at running back, I mean, Daryl Henderson, he looks like he's the guy. I mean, he's probably going to be one of the top fab bibs at running backs this week in leagues where he wasn't picked up, assuming Foreman was not taken. But, dude, I like another guy. That's Devin Singletary. He is really taking over more and more each week, getting a larger role in this Texans offense. I'm losing confidence in Damian Pearson.
Sure.
Let's face it, Stroud's got this offense on the move. So I think Devin Singletary, if he's out there, would definitely be my top running back available this week.
Coming off the bye, definitely agree with you there, because he is a guy who has been on a roster. And we talk about Daryl Henderson. The guy was with Mr. Pugh straight off the couch a couple of days ago. Henderson couldn't find a job this summer. That's always troubling. I mean, if you wanted to look at the other guys like Freeman, you say the same thing. You know, why hasn't he been there? So I go back to Singletary and say this is an offense that's moving the ball really well through the air with C.J. Stroud. There is room in this offense for some running game if somebody can get it done. If Pierce isn't. And if you want to go back, so, and obviously he's one of those guys coming off bye week too, so maybe because he didn't do anything last week, you know, people have just kind of glossed over him. And then let's go back to, it's not pretty at all, the Arizona Cardinals, but Keontae Ingram didn't get anything. Damian Williams hardly got anything. I know it isn't pretty, but Amari DiMercato had the snap count 2 weeks ago, but didn't have the statistics for fantasy value. But he had both the snap count and the quote-unquote statistics, as he was the leader there. So
James Conner's back in 2 weeks, though, probably.
If you're desperate, Dan, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he's worth a roster stash, as is Royce Freeman, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, you can stick those guys on your roster. And a team with a week with no bye weeks, I don't think any of them are getting in your starting lineup this week, unless you're just ravished by injuries. And frankly, if I'm looking for a short-term option over DiMercato and Freeman, I mean, I think Paris Strong has to get into the conversation at least.
I would agree. Absolutely, I would agree, because Cleveland is going to run the football, and they're going to play good defense, even though they didn't last week. So I don't disagree with you at all.
All right. So anything at quarterback? You said you had some super flex thoughts. If you're streaming some quarterbacks out there, what's the position look like?
Well, again, if you've got a guy, whether it's Ritter and you're not sure, and if you're actually relying on him, he's not your QB3, maybe you need to go make sure you have Heinicke. Maybe you should go get every quarterback back up, depending on how deep your super flex league is. I mean, I'm sorry. I have Teddy Bridgewater in a super flex league where I have Goff. I have White in a super flex league where I have Tua, because these are deeper rosters. Have your eyes on that. And I mentioned that earlier because we mentioned Jalen Hurts being a little banged up. And look, two great receivers, a great tight end. I mean, I know Mariota didn't look good in summer ball, but he would still be given the keys to that offense. If I had Hurts in a super flex in a regular one quarterback league, I'd be trying to find C.J. Stroud or somebody like that. But just keep that in mind.
Yep. My streamer defenses of the week, if they're out there, the Jets coming off of a bye might be a good pickup against the Giants, especially with or without Daniel Jones. I still like the Jets D against the Giants in that offensive line. Seattle, we don't know what's up with Cleveland and their quarterback. Seattle's at home this week. I'll take my chances. And heck, James, I might even take my chances with the Giants after last week, because they get to play Zach Wilson.
What in the heck? The Giants.
The Texans are the one I've actually got a couple bids on in some deeper leagues.
The Giants looked good a week ago against the Bills. They almost pulled that off. So that's not just a one-game thing either, by the way. The Giants D ain't so bad. What about the Detroit Lions? People will, A, be fed up with what they did against the Ravens, B, be neglecting them because they're on bye in week 9. Let me tell you, the Lions, I'm staying with them, Dan. They were ugly against the Ravens. But they've got a bye week.
That's one of those throw the tapes out type of games, dude. You just
got
to throw.
They've got a great schedule minus their bye week and one other opponent.
Only one more game outdoors the rest of the season.
So that Lions defense is definitely one to keep an eye on, especially if you could hold them through their bye week.
Yeah, against the Raiders. Although Garoppolo is still coming back at home on Monday Night Football. That sounds like a winner.
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's go into these games. We're going to go a little quicker because we're back to all of them here. And Just some quick start sits, our early thoughts here, and let's start with Tampa Bay at Buffalo. The Bills, 8.5-point favorite, 42 is the current total here. It's Thursday night, Buffalo. Josh Allen struggling with this offense right now. The running game's been inconsistent. They're shredded by injuries on the defensive side of the ball here, and you're talking about a team that's lost in over the last few weeks to Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, so Baker Mayfield's got a shot here, James.
Yeah, I still think he's more of a super flex than a one QB starter, but you're going to start Evans, you're going to start Godwin, you know, assuming he's good to go. And I mean, Rashad White, if you had to turn to him and you still do, he gets the volume. One of these days, he's going to hit that end zone.
Yeah, I'm with you there. On the Buffalo side, I mean, Josh Allen, obviously you're sticking with him, as well as Stephon Diggs. We talked about how much we like Dalton Kincaid. I think he is certainly in the mix there as a top 12 tight end potentially this week, and can get behind starting him in a lot of spots. So that said, Gabe Davis, always sort of a sketchy play here. He's, you know, in this bye week area. He's definitely on that fringe wide receiver three for me. It's a boom or bust situation. Mm-hmm. I can still keep up with James Cook there. We're not going to get cute with anything else, including Latavius Murray, regardless how desperate you are. So we go to the Sunday games. Dallas, they're a 6-point favorite here versus the Rams. And it was definitely, they had the bye week. They've had all these things going on here. But last time out, it was an offense that looked better here, James. They're laying 6 to the Rams. The total's at 45. Your thoughts on your boy Dak and these Cowboys versus this Rams D?
Dak puts himself in starting quarterback territory. I think you play CeeDee Lamb, you play Pollard. And look, we didn't talk about Pittsburgh, but Deontay Johnson came back and put up a nice day right away. Brandon Cooks, I'm not saying he's the same receiver, but Brandon Cooks is a secondary receiver in this matchup. He's worth a desperation play. I'm not ready to buy in yet, but I'm pseudo buying.
I'm not as high on you. I think the Rams D is a little underrated, especially against receivers. Only two teams have allowed fewer fantasy points to wideouts this season. Only two total touchdowns to wideouts this season. They haven't really been eaten up in the game. And in fact, now they have 3 receivers after the Pickens, 107 last week. I mean, they can be played upon, but it's not the defense it was 2 years ago, but it's a lot better in the defense than I thought it would be, is all I'm saying.
That's fair. Yeah.
Tony Pollard, is he going to wake up here? I mean, live up to that draft capital? Because, I mean, CeeDee Lamb has had some moments here, but Pollard has been not that spectacular, in my opinion. On the Rams side of it, it looks like Henderson's going to be the guy, and I can I'm not loving it.
It's just crazy.
I'm not loving it here, but I do think he's fringe top 25 running back this week. I'm not messing around with any of the others. Kupp and Puka Nacua, they're both elite wide receivers. Nacua might be the better option in PPR leagues. We're done with Tyler Higbee until further notice. Sure. I mean, the guy can't catch touchdowns, and now he's not getting targets. It's not a great combination. Matthew Stafford, outside of Superflex, no thanks. Let's move on. Minnesota's at Green Bay. The Vikings saved their season with that Monday night win. Now can they go to Lambeau and take against the struggling Packers? The home team's a 1-point favorite. The total just 42.5 here, though. James, your thoughts on Kirk Cousins and the Vikings on the short week to Green Bay?
There is no way I'll be sitting Cousins in this matchup. I think at this point Addison's worked his way in as well. I'm not sure if I'm going to the other receivers. Osborne, the other fella's slipping my name right mind right now, who also had a big part in Monday Night Football. So for me, in the receiving game, it's Hockenson, it's Addison, and I'll play the other guys, but just desperation. I'm playing Cousins. I'm still not touching the backfield. Madison looks better once Akers has joined the team, but Akers is still a big enough problem that I'm not, with nobody on bye, I'm not going that backfield.
We talked about the Packers a lot during the injury report because half their team's hurt.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, let's hope he can get back and healthy here. He really hasn't looked it. We will track the progress of this entire team before I can rubber stamp any of it. But assuming that Watson does miss times and Dobbs is there, those targets are going to go his way. And let's face it, the Vikings are a favorable defense. So Romeo Dobbs, he's wide receiver 3 right now if Watson's out in this matchup against the Vikings defense that has struggled to stop receivers. And this isn't going to be Monday night at home. This is Lambeau Field on the road on a short week. So I'll take my chances with him. Outside of that, we'll see what the running game does. And Jordan Love, I mean, he's outside my top 20 this week, James. So use him at your risk, even in Superflex. Atlanta, Tennessee, the one bet I already made for week number 8, believe it or not, got in on it while I could. The Falcons minus 237 is the total. The Titans are already selling. They just sold Kevin Byard off to the Eagles, continuing to build Philadelphia's stack with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, all these former Titans showing up in Philly. Either way here, James, I mean, the Falcons and the Titans, two teams that appear to be going in opposite directions. I already laid a nice little wad down on that minus two with Atlanta. I think Tennessee's toast, dude. Arthur Smith's going back there, and he's going to get the dub.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I guess there's rumors that maybe King Henry could be traded. I don't think it's happening, but
Kyle Titans. Pitts, I mean, he woke up, so he's back in as a weekly starter. But the matchup I really love here this week is your boy Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee has been shredded by receivers. In fact, I mean, you know, it's gotten a little better here of late, but I think London could be a top 10 play this week, James. That's how much I think Ridder's looked a little better. I'm not going to start him, but I will in Superflex. And Bijan, we already said, if he's active, he's in for us. We're going to just write it off as, yeah, you know, had a migraine, whatever, wasn't there. But definitely want to keep your eyes on that situation because Cordero Patterson, we didn't talk about him a lot in that waiver wire report, but he becomes a waiver wire option if somehow there's a bigger story to Robinson than we're seeing today. But I do like the Falcons a lot in this contest. I don't think they're going to go off for huge fantasy days, but I think Drake London has one and the Falcons win here. Tennessee, yeah. We don't know what's up at quarterback. Tannehill looks like he's out. Is it Malik Willis? Is it Will Levis? Is it a little both? That's what we're hearing today. So that immediately wipes out any part of this passing attack. It's just like Derrick Henry, and that's about it for me.
That is exactly it, and that is it.
Are you picking up either of those guys in Superflex?
Maybe Will Levis. I mean, the hype that had him potentially being one of the top overall picks in the draft, I mean, was that just all Mel being out, you know, out on a limb there? Or was there more to that? Because the Titans did indeed make a trade to move up and pick him up. Then he got hurt. It seems like Malik Willis is simply not the answer. So I guess it depends on how much room you have. Like in our do-good league, nah, I don't think so. But in some deeper super flex leagues, yes, I will try to.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And you need to have deeper rosters in Superflex, too.
Yeah.
Our dude gets a little shallow on purpose.
It's okay.
But in terms of just the total, it's already up to 2.5, and I just bet that a couple hours ago. So, and the unders dropped down a full point since the news of Tannehill being out. So, yeah, that's a fantasy snooze fest potentially going on in a very short game. That might be over by 3:15.
A lot of running, maybe. Even though you can throw against Tennessee, Atlanta might run it anyway.
New England and Miami, another one of these many 1 o'clocks on this week 8 slate. Minus 9.5 for the Dolphins, 47's the total. New England looking a little better of late. And in this matchup, you would have to think they have to throw the football a little bit. So Mac Jones is back in life as Superflex. We already talked about a couple of receivers we like. But you know what I really like what's going on these past couple weeks? The reemergence of Ramondre Stevenson in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And as game script, catcher. Yeah, game flow has played a large part of it. But it's all right to lose carries to Ezekiel. I think Ezekiel Elliott's getting his goal line carries. He needs a couple more because I got to get over that 4.5 rushing touchdown prop. But at the end of the day, I mean, after these last 2 weeks and the utilization that we've seen with Ramondre here, he's back on comfortably in my wide or my RB2, especially in PPR league running backs.
Yeah, so, totally agree.
And then definitely in the terms of the other side of the ball, there's a lot to like, obviously, with Miami, James. Sure. Tua had a pretty dismal game. This could be a nice bounce back opportunity.
So just keep in mind, man, when the Patriots go to Miami, they usually lose, seem gassed. I mean, I say usually lose. I should have numbers to back that up. But even Tom Brady struggled in Miami. It was a bad road game for him. The Patriots are going from basically fall to almost winter back to the tropics where it's going to be hot. I think the Patriots struggle. So I think, I mean, you got to love Tyreek's speed. You got to love Waddle's speed. You got to love Mostert. You got to love Tua again this week. I think they bounce back in a major way.
Houston at Carolina, it's C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud's favored by 3, the Texans are, and 43.5 is the total here. Running around the horn, James, with the Panthers.
Well, we saw some life from them before the bye week. I don't think Young is a super flex back-end starter, maybe. It's Thielen, and frankly, that's it. I guess if you're going to go to the backfield, I mean, let's see what's up with Sanders and Hubbard, but I don't really want to deal with that backfield, period.
Yeah, I mean, Hubbard's worth playing. I mean, it's definitely not Sanders, but he's a flex at best in this matchup. And the volume has been there for Thielen, but he's on my dud list this week, actually. And I mean, the volume's going to have to be there because his ceiling's just limited. The Texans have yet to see any wideouts this season reach 80 receiving yards. Only two wide receivers all season have managed to reach the end zone. So it's going to be really hard to bench Thielen in PPR leagues given his recent volume. I think his ceiling's low. So on the other side of it, the Texans, I like Singletary. Damian Pierce, this is his last chance opportunity, but with no teams on by, he's nothing more than a flex and one I'm not using in any of my lineups.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz is on fire. You keep rolling him out at tight end. You know I'm rolling me out some Nico Collins. Tank Dell's dealing with concussion. If he's healthy, he'll go. And CJ Stroud, I'm going to bet him rival pick versus Bryce Young in this one, and hopefully it will pan out there over on Underdog, but go Texans. Jets, Giants, the Battle of New York. The Jets, 2.5-point favorites, the total at 36.5. What do you like about the Jets?
Oh, I mean, I guess I like the direction the team's moving in, but that doesn't mean I like a whole lot from a fantasy perspective. I don't see how you can bench Breece Hall, even if he's not making lateral cuts. His straight up and down the field, north and south running, is enough for your fantasy needs. You probably playing Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, I am.
That's it.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall, I mean, the thing is it's going to come.
It's coming. He's starting to look the part again.
Yeah. But the thing is it's going to come and it's going to be too late. Right? I mean, at least for the Jets.
For the Jets, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. They got the win again before their most recent bye week.
That was a big win over the Eagles. That was a big win over the Eagles.
Yeah.
And this is a winnable game. They're favored here. And Zach Wilson's actually looked a little better. I mean,
over the last three weeks.
I mean, dude, I'm definitely considering him in Superflex in a league where I'm struggling with my QB too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. We'll see. But on the Giants side, we'll see what happens at quarterback. They are better with Jones and Tyrod Taylor. We can end that silliness, even though it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, if they're missing three linemen. That offensive line sucks. And until they can block, you just can't trust any of it. But you know who I am trusting? Darren Waller.
When he's active.
Yeah, and he's finally off this report. The Jets have allowed the most fantasy points per game so far this season, including watching five tight ends score in six games. Waller, he's coming off his best day as a Giant. He celebrated National Tight Ends Day with that 98-yard, 7-catch touchdown performance. So he's going to keep it rolling here. It's a big day for Waller, dude. And then Saquon, he's back. You're playing him. Outside of that, I'm not touching those receivers. Jacksonville is at Pittsburgh. Lots of receivers in play in this contest. Let's start with your Jags, though, and your thoughts on Calvin Ridley. And where did he go on Thursday Night Football last week?
I don't know. You know, they got off to a nice big lead and then seemingly couldn't hold it with, being tired playing on Thursday night after the travel. Let's go with Calvin Ridley again this week. I think you play him when he's active.
I'm definitely playing him, dude. I mean,
but I'm playing Christian Kirk every week from this point on too.
The Steelers, they've already ceded 3 30-point days to receivers this season and in six games. Ayuk, Adams, Nico Collins. Three wide receiver ones have gone for 30 fantasy points. And that doesn't even count Puka Nacua for
Puka
8 for 154. He didn't get the 30, James. He only had 20-something.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to have a big day. Maybe it is Christian Kirk, and it's not. But if you look at these other guys, it's the big dog, the guy on the outside in most of these cases, the big 30-point days. I think Ridley gets healthy here, especially after that dud. I think he's going to smash.
Totally agree. Yeah, I'm with you.
Ingram, you're rolling him just because there's 12 tight ends you're rolling with. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence, I'm not going to worry too much about it. ETN's in every week, so Kirk, I mean, I feel like we're done with the Jags. Let's get your thoughts on the Steelers.
Don't want to start either running back this week, but also I'm happy to turn to either running back this
Warren
week.
Warren is the one I want the most.
Najee still gets the volume. I mean, they're both, look, they both scored a week ago, right? They're both getting volume. So it's kind of one of those deals where they're both kind of back end twos to flex plays. PPR, you can go to Deontay Johnson. I certainly think so. I think, when you look back to, I mean, when you talk about Warren, again, going back to their last matchup where we saw Kamara catch 12 balls, I don't know that Warren does that, but we know he's that guy to do that. You play Pickens. Pickett to me, no thank you, and that's about it for Pittsburgh.
New Orleans is taking on Indianapolis. In Indy, 1.5 points is the favorite. Colts taking the home team up there. The total's at 43.5, and we talked a little bit about the Colts before. Gardner Minshew definitely emerging here as a nice fill in, especially in real life. This week, the Colts, I mean, coming off that bad outing against Jacksonville, I do think the defense bounces back a little bit in this one, but it is interesting. One of the few games this week where the total went up 2 points instead of down from the opening line. So I think there are some holes in this. So I'm going to roll, even though Minshew doesn't excite me terribly, I'm going to play Downs as a wide receiver 3. I think Pittman's a tick ahead of him still overall. We're obviously rolling Jonathan Taylor. Moss with all the teams in action and not that many key injuries. He's tough for me to even get in as a flex here, but he could have a solid day, James. Mm-hmm. The Saints, I mean, Alvin Kamara is certainly the man with all the targets, but dude, Chris Olave spent last night in jail. What's going on with this offense?
Look, if he's has no nothing holding him back from going out playing this week, I'm not going to worry too much about that, right? As without knowing the whole situation, I'm guessing this isn't much different than the Addison situation from earlier in the season, so I'm not sweating it. Olave, I mean, do you trust him? Dude, I don't trust anybody Derek Carr's throwing a football to, but he's probably still in your lineups, even in this non-bye week. It's the only player besides Kamara that's in my lineups. Carr is, to me, he's a good super flex, but he's quarterback, but he's not a good starting option. Yeah,
Michael Thomas, that touchdown last week, I think I can get behind him in PPR as a wide receiver 3 or 4. And in deeper leagues, I mean, Taysom Hill is in play as tight end, but I mean, Taysom Hill, Tyler Conklin, Tyler Higbee, take your chance, dude. I mean, it's a roll of the dice in a pile of crap waiting on the losing end of it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Philadelphia at Washington. We already talked about Hurts in his knee. We're assuming he's going to play. Is he 100%? Devontae Smith's been struggling here, but this matchup's juicy. It's real juicy. I mean, Washington is one of the worst defenses in football. I like all parts of the Phillies passing game. It was nice to see Dallas Goedert get involved in the National Tight End Day with some production there. And definitely like that, dude. DeAndre Swift, really the only running back. Although Gainwell did get in the end zone. He's worth a bench spot, not starting him this week, though. What's your thoughts on Washington?
I mean, I'll still go to Robinson. The fact that he got in the end zone was good in an otherwise disappointing week. He's kind of still an RB2 for me. Terry McLaurin is a fringy wide receiver, too. The other two guys, Samuel and Dotson. I mean, it was Dotson this week. I still think I play Samuel over Dotson, but you saw that the way that Howe can spread the ball around, that nobody's really a great option, even including McLaurin, the one of this group. Logan Thomas, sure, take your chance. I'll tell you what, it was Rodriguez that had more touches than Gibson. So, I mean, I don't even know if Gibson, I think we've already talked about it, he may well not even be worth a roster spot.
He's not. I can confirm.
Thank you.
I can confirm. Somehow I still cannot drop him in the 14-team SiriusXM host league where my team blows.
I know how that happens. You just keep having, like, there's literally no one on the waiver wire.
Yeah. All right. On the Seattle side, I mean, I'm sitting Geno Smith on the next matchup, I should say, Seattle and Cleveland. The Seahawks -3, 40 is the total here in Seattle. This has the makings of a low scoring game. The total's dropped 5.5 points, and I'm still liking the under. Geno Smith, I mean, as if having DK Metcalf dinged up wasn't bad enough, now you got to face this Browns D, right? We saw Gardner Minshew. He went off last week, right? I mean, that was sort of an anomaly. Only one quarterback broke 13 points in the other 5 games.
Yeah.
Smith has not been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in any game this season. He's finished outside the top 20 at the position in 3 of the 6 weeks he's played. He's not getting inside the top 20 this week. Tyler Lockett, you're dead to me. DK Metcalf, when you're healthy, I'll put you in. It is intriguing to see Jackson Smith and Ajigba get involved, but he's not getting anywhere near this matchup. Tight end's nothing to speak of. So basically, the only player I'm going to start this week in Seattle is one Kenneth Walker.
Dang, you wouldn't start Jig Bobo? No, I'm just kidding.
I was actually going to give you some props because you threw him out as a dark guy. Dude, I mean, Bobo is actually solid. And I'll tell you what, in Dynasty Leagues, if you're sitting on Jig Bobo right now, you're thrilled.
I do have him in the deepest of dynasty leagues.
I'm just saying.
And look at me reaching for my flowers.
Dude, he looks the part. They clearly like him. I think they hit a home run on drafting the guy, but it's Kenneth Walker. It's nobody else. Who are you starting on the Brownies?
I mean, I said I couldn't trust anybody 2 weeks ago. Amari Cooper goes off. So I go, okay, he's back in the circle of trust. And then what happens? Brown score a million points and he's not even that productive. So I don't know. I don't trust any single Brown, but Cooper, I guess, is one of those receivers you just play every week and you deal with the ups and downs and you know you're going to get.
I think he is too. Amari Cooper is just too talented. I mean,
just play him every week and deal with the bums.
Yeah. Because he's going to have big games.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's up with Deshaun. I don't even think the Browns know what's up with Deshaun, right?
Do you think he does?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, I tell you what, though. I will say just off the touchdown upside that Kareem Hunt is in my top 30. He's in my just on the fringe of my top 30 at running back. So he is obviously in flex conversation this week.
Yep, agree.
David Njoku on my sit list, though. I will say that. Only one tight end all season has reached 50 yards against Seattle. No tight end has scored against the Seahawks this season. So,
yeah. You can't. I just don't trust anything going on with this Browns offense right now.
Baltimore, Arizona. It is the Ravens, the visitors. 8.5-point favorites at airtime here. 43.5 the total. And Lamar, we talked about him on the opener, clicking on all cylinders. He's continuing to just get assimilated, settled in this new offense. And over the last 5 weeks, only two quarterbacks put up more fantasy points. His hot play should continue this week versus the Cardinals. They've allowed 5 of the 7 signal callers they face to reach 20 fantasy points. He might get it by halftime in this one, the way he's going. And until he gets hurt and goes down, James, he has fantasy MVP quality. He just got to get more than 12 games. So we will see if he can hold up. History is not on his side, but enjoy it while it lasts. You're enjoying Mark Andrews. You're enjoying Zay Flowers. Nothing else is getting in the lineup. Sorry. Gus Edwards does not crack in on the no bye week teams for me. Rashad Bateman, worth adding in deeper leagues. Beckham, still rosterable, I guess, but none of those guys are in my lineup either here. What about the Cardinals?
Boy, I could make the argument you just don't want anything to do with any of it, but I suppose if you're desperate for a running back, I told you DeMarcado's the guy I would turn to. You hope he's catching some passes. Hollywood Brown still in lineups, right? This is a bit of a revenge game. Not a bit of a revenge game. It frankly is a revenge game. So he's in lineups for me, too. I'm not ready to go McBride, but I do agree with you that it's time to take a stab with what's going on.
Cincinnati is at San Francisco. The Bengals, a 5.5-point road underdog, a total sitting steady at 46, right where it opened here. James, the Bengals coming off a bye. What's your take on this Cincinnati offense as they start a whole new part of their season?
Man, I'm worried about Higgins this week, which means I would be interested in Tyler Boyd. I got to figure out if I'm playing Higgins in lineups where I have good options, and I'm going to follow that follow up with that later in the week. But you're going to play Burrow here if you've ridden him this far. You're going to play Chase. I guess you're going to play Mixon. That's all you get right there.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Burrow, though, how high up the board you got him?
He's a back-end QB1. His talent is playing there. You look at the Niners, and they've been a little bit more susceptible the last 2 weeks. So
before that, it's been brutal, though, and especially at home, coming off these losses, the defense. We'll have to see how dinged up Fred Warner and Drew Greenlaw and some of these other guys that got hurt. But it's been tough sledding for quarterbacks for San Fran for the most part this season. We'll see. I'm optimistic. On the San Fran side, McCaffrey played through the oblique, looking great there. Brock Purdy definitely on the bounce back here. That's one of the highest totals of the week. So I do think the Cincinnati defense hasn't really looked the part. So I think Purdy can get back involved. And Ayuk will obviously see if Debo Samuel's played. The Bengals have not been able to do good against opposing tight ends very much. So Kittle, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, James, coming home after two road losses, I think this is going to be a charged up Niners team. So I'm pretty much starting all of these guys.
I can't argue with that. I'm totally with you there.
Kansas City is at Denver and the Chiefs are on fire right now, dude. Travis Kelce having just breakout games after breakout games. Mahomes goes for over 400 yards in this contest, 4 touchdowns last week. They go into Denver, and I mean, the D has some weapons there, but the team is sellers. I mean, sort of mixed messages. They did get a big win last week, but I actually like Isaiah Pacheco this week. He's the guy that I think has the big fantasy day. Mahomes, I mean, yeah, you're going to play him. And Kelce, obviously, he's a stud every week. Rashee Rice, I'm still considering as a wide receiver three, depending on your lineup options there. But it's Pacheco, dude. He's coming off his second lowest rushing output of the season. Did have a receiving touchdown, though. And I just think he's primed for a nice bounce back here. The Chiefs running back has scored 13 or more PPR points now in five straight contests. And the Broncos are giving up more fantasy points to the position. 36.9 PPR points to running backs per game this year. That's more than any other team in the league, dude. So
I think the one thing that you that probably piggybacks with your Pacheco too, because you're going to ask me, who do I like from the Broncos side of the ball? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I like anybody, because the Chiefs defense has been so good and the Broncos offense hasn't been very good, which leads to Pacheco getting a ton of second half work. So I totally get you. And then you want to know who I like from the Broncos side? Dude, I guess you could start Judy in desperation. Sutton, you could start as a wide receiver three, maybe even a back end two.
I mean, dude, he's top 25 guy right now. He's got five touchdowns. Didn't he have four in each of the past two seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. So you're starting Sutton. Does that mean you're starting Russ? I honestly don't think you are, even if you would start those two guys.
He's in my top 20 this week. He's in my top 20.
20? Sure. Oh, yeah, you're starting him in Superflex for sure, Russ. But, I mean, Herbert didn't even look great against them last week.
He didn't get my 1.5 passing touchdown over. I needed for plus 160 last week. Although they had one called back, dude.
Let's not get into those officials.
Yes, yes. All right, we got the primetime games to break down. We'll do the Chargers at the Bears, 8:20 kickoff Sunday night. The Chargers, 8.5-point favorites, 46.5 here. We don't know what Justin Fields' status is with the thumb here. But, you know, it wasn't too shabby last week in his absence, right? And the Chargers, I mean, this defense, they're definitely friendly. So I think, James, when we look at those two things combined here, the Chargers have actually given up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks of any team. So if Fields comes back, this could be a really good spot. Really good spot. But even if he doesn't, I think you're still playing, even with Tyson Bandit here, I'm still playing DJ Moore. And it looks like Roshan Johnson's coming back. So if he's active, that's going to be exciting. Does kill the buzz on Dante Foreman a little bit. I think Foreman remains in flex play. Johnson probably going to wait and see on him, let him play his way into the lineup, but he's not too far behind him in my ranks. And Cole Kmet is a fringe tight end one here for me. The Chargers, can they get it going here against the Bears? They really have been struggling.
They can, they will. You start Herbert, you start Eckler, both duds a week ago. You start Keenan Allen, and dude, you start Palmer too. Maybe you start Everett. I don't think so. Everett's not on my wire. You can. He scored last week. I'm not starting him.
Yeah, I mean, he's like tight end 15, so take it for what you will.
He's like Conklin and all the other guys, Higbee, all the other guys you mentioned, although he has scored a touchdown.
Las Vegas, Detroit, the Monday night game. The Raiders hoping to get Jimmy Garoppolo back. I'm assuming he will at this point. Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, they're in every week. Garoppolo here, not a great matchup for him, so I can't endorse him even in Superflex. And certainly, if either of the backups are in, they even fall further down the board. And the guy I'm really off of here is Josh Jacobs. I mean, it just continues to get ugly. And after winning a rushing title last year, Jacobs has made it through week 7 without reaching 77 yards on the ground in a game this season. And I just don't think it's going to get better against Detroit. They're allowing the third fewest rushing yards to running backs, 56.1 yards per game. They've only allowed 3 total touchdowns to the position all season. Josh Jacobs, I'm benching him this week, James. I've got him outside my top 25.
Fascinating, only because I don't have good enough options to bench him. But it has been disappointing, no question about it. And they were a bad team last year, and he was able to get well. But to the Lions side, Dan, I'm thinking Goff bounces back in a big way. Be interesting to see what they have in the backfield right now. I expect it to be Gibbs, and if it's Gibbs, you're going to roll with him as well. I'm starting Amon-Ra. I'm starting Laporta. Williams got me the wrong side where he had a handful of targets but no catches last week. We saw the immense boomer bust he is. I made the T.Y. Hilton comment earlier. He might be the new T.Y. Hilton. But Williams, not a player I'm trusting this week, even though I like Goff to bounce back.
One thing you can trust is we'll be back here next week. So you want to subscribe, keep up with the podcast wherever you listen. You can get it anytime and all of our tools to win this season. InsiderFootball.com. Be sure to follow us on X at James Adams 94, at Dan Claskins, at Fantistics, and definitely James. As we get back here on Saturday morning on SiriusXM this week, I don't know if you realize this or not, we're going to be doing our Stud, Dud, and Sleeper Halloween candy show.
So I have already been digging in deep into the research. And all I can say right now, Dan, I don't mean to get too negative in this wonderful holiday season of Halloween, but dude, the fun sizes. It's not fun to open up 30 wrappers to get two bites out of something. Come on with it already. There's literally one Rolo in packaging now. One Rolo.
Oh my goodness.
My What's fingers hurt, dude, and I'm still hungry.
Yeah. Well, we'll take care of that. But you'll want to tune in. It's always a fun time at and tune in here every week. We'll be here to help you win. So we'll catch you next time. For James Adams, I'm Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.